The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
Now, Kate McGrew, how are you?
Great, Dave. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Kate McGrew, by the way, sex worker. You may know her from last year's video diary series Connected. It was on RT2. That's the one with the pictures. So welcome to the programme. Amnesty's recent vote to support the full decriminalisation of prostitution. Do you welcome it?
Very much so. Yeah, with SWAY, Sex Workers Alliance Ireland, we're very encouraged by this commitment, because it's to decriminalisation specifically. I think there's been a lot of confusion about it. Some people say legalisation. Well, it's not legalisation, because legalisation is how they have it in Germany and Holland. And the way that it is there, the overregulation makes it so that sometimes workers wouldn't, they basically be ignoring the laws. And it also makes it harder for them to work self-sufficiently. So then there's more power and there's more reliance on third parties. And that's why you see sort of very big brothels and a lot of people working with managers. Whereas with decriminalization, it's a lot easier for workers to work self-sufficiently, and we can register as a business. And that another misconception is that workers that we're decriminalized already here, because the fact is that I can't work with another woman for safety. Even this year alone, there have been a lot of women who have been arrested, their money taken off of them, and they've been deported just for working for another with another woman for safety. So Amnesty is saying, for the safety of all sex workers, men, women, and trans, that all aspects of the industry should be decriminalized, and that that's the best way for workers to be able to access authorities and be able to trust authorities, and right. and hold, if they do work with employers, to a legal standard.
Okay, so that's Amnesty. And yeah. Legalization, as you say, in some other countries wouldn't really work for you. You don't think it's the right thing, but decriminalization is good. A lot of people, I saw some of the posters of people going around, and sex work is work, or sex work is work. And a lot of people don't necessarily understand that, you know, a lot of people are doing this by choice and like to do it.
Yes, that's true. And I think that there's an understandable desire to fixate and focus on the word choice, as if there's there's this line in the sand where some people choose and some people are desperate. But the fact is, it's actually much more nuanced picture than that. And I think it's really helpful if people can wrap their heads around the fact that some people, even in very pressurized situations, will make the choice to work because they have mouths to feed. So indeed, that's true.
Well, then what do you think of the interference, if that's the right word, of famous people like Kate Winslet or Anne Hathaway or what do you call it, the girls one, Lena Dunham, yeah. Meryl Streep, etc. Do you think they're duped? Do you think they're misguided? Do you think they're spot on?
I think they're well-intentioned but misguided, Dave. You know, it's like, you know, Amnesty, their concern, their main concern are the marginalised workers, the vulnerable workers. So, for example, even when you talk about if people are happy doing the work, specifically for people who are not happy doing the work, decriminalization is really the best legislation to be able to make sure that they can protect themselves and be protected and have health and safety.
Okay, well, then let's take a look at Ireland at the moment, because in Ireland, prostitution is legal, but many activities associated with it are outlawed as public order offences and stuff like that. So define a brothel. I mean, how is a brothel defined? Why is that relevant in this necessarily?
Literally, a brothel is just myself working with another woman.
Right.
That is considered a brothel. And so you can see why...
So two or more.
Yeah. And you can see why it's really dangerous that people that are trying to push for any kind of criminalization, they're saying, look, we want workers to be decriminalized as well, because we're not. We wouldn't be. We still would have to work alone. And it, obviously, it's potentially very, very dangerous for us to have to be alone, because people know that we might be alone.
Most sex workers use a pseudonym. You don't. I mean, your name is Kate McGrew. You are Kate McGrew. Is that, is there a reason for that? Are you proud of it? Or you want to be a spokesperson? Or whether you like it or not, the Connected programme on TV, has that made you a spokesperson?
I mean, frankly, it's kind of all of the above. You know, I'm certainly not ashamed. And it felt sort of simpler for me anyways. And for myself, I knew that with my situation, that, for example, my family as individuals and us together as a family were strong enough to bear the stress that it was going to cause them for me to come out, because what we're fighting for is way bigger than any of us, and people around me know that.
Do you like your job? Do you like
do
your
like
work?
My
is
job.
It fun?
I do. It is fun, and of course, it comes with stressful aspects as well. And and these things can be made better if we do have better laws, you know. And again, it's, you know, really, as much as it's nice that I have fun, it's not really about that, particularly with this amnesty commitment. It's that the point needs to be that because a lot of people aren't having fun. And so for them, it's really about finding what is the legal framework that can help them, and how can we sort of change society's attitudes about sex workers. My colleague, Katrina O'Brien, she said, once we stop seeing sex work as a social ill, we can start seeing sex workers as humans that deserve human rights. And I think that's really spot on.
And to say that all sex work should be outlawed is obviously to deny a sex worker's ownership over her own body. And like, for instance, like, you know, like your own human rights, you know, like what other people want to do with your body is, in one way, you know, there's nobody else's business, I suppose. So like, your job itself, the current law, it is unsatisfactory for sex workers. You said there, what Amnesty is going to lay down as a law, what Amnesty wants to do, what Amnesty's kind of dictate, like, will it happen? Is that the point?
Well, they've passed a resolution. So what that
passed
means...
Passed a resolution.
Right.
Okay.
So what that means is that they have committed themselves to forming a policy based around full decriminalization of the sex industry.
Right, right.
Specifically.
Okay, so look, what do you like about your job?
Well, I've often likened it to traveling as a young woman. You know, it's you meet a lot of people, and it can be very interesting. I mean, obviously, it's like any other job, actually, in a lot of ways. It comes with its pros and cons, but really, it leaves me enough time and money to work on my shows. So so for example, my show Sweet Pang is in the Fringe Festival.
Yep,
you can get tickets for that at www.fringefest.com.
It's at the Chocolate Factory in Dublin from September 14 to September 17.
Yeah, 8:30. So that's it. It really, you know, and frankly, like, it is a lot of a bang for your buck, if you will. So,
hey.
So, good morning, Ireland.
5-1, 5-5-1.
So yeah, it suits me, and it allows me a lot of time to work on my career, which is my performing.
Okay, I mean, this is a proposal that impacts on your life, and it doesn't impact necessarily on Lena Dunham's or Meryl Streep's or anybody else. So in one way, stay out of the way. Is that it, Mr. Hollywood?
I mean, like I said...
They mean well, but...
Yeah, I can tell that they mean well, but I think the fact is what typically happens is that people think, they go, oh, you know, criminalizing the client, that will probably make people stop wanting to purchase sex and everything. But... it doesn't really result in that. End demand tactics don't work. And so when you really look at the math of what happens in transactional sex, you can see that even if it's only the client that's being criminalized, it's the worker that's squeezed. It's the worker who compromises her safety. And it shifts the power dynamic actually towards the client and toward third parties. So again, I think it's when they really sit and think about, you know, looking at the industry and looking at how it works and how these interactions happen, you can see that we need to accept that people are going to work. And so just how do we keep them safe and healthy?
Okay, well, people are going to work. Some people are at their desk now about 10 or 11 minutes ago, maybe, the old 9 to 5. I presume, I bet you, a typical day in your life, I bet you're going to tell me there's a lot of admin work.
There is, of course, but there is, Dave.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of doing stuff online, of organizing clients and sort of negotiating and talking with people and so
regular clients.
Regular clients and new clients, yeah.
Right. There's a few here at 51551. It's married women who sell their bodies. Prostitutes only rent theirs.
I mean, sell their bodies is a problematic phrase, isn't it? Because it really insinuates the sensationalist and reductive and objectifying concept of selling one's body. It's like in the media, you know, sex workers are portrayed either as, frankly, as an abused or murdered body, or if it's a picture, it would be just some salacious photo of a woman with her head out of frame, you know, and it really, it sort of perpetuates the mystifying and the shame shaming, and it takes away the fact that we are people who go to work with our heads and minds. And I think that's really important.
Well, there's one here which a lot of people think is important too. Do sex workers pay tax or USC?
Yeah, you know, and again, it's like the more above board this can be, the more will and the more it will be easy, because you can pay taxes, right. You know, and so that's what we look for, is just a bit more legitimization.
Very good. There's one here from Jerry. It said, why is it that the sellers of drugs are the villains, but it is the buyers of sex who are the villains? Is it because both are more likely to be men? There's a lot in that.
Wait, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not too sure necessarily what angle it's going. Let me just take that in. I'll give it to you again. What I would like to know now, though, is the indoor sex work. You mentioned the two people can be whatever. It's okay. What is indoor sex work?
Well, it's literally working indoors. So it's, say, compared to people who work on the street. You know, now working in the street, you know, there is less overhead because you're not paying for work apartments and et cetera. But there are also more risks.
Okay, so indoor sex work is what it says in the tin. Yeah. So that's the difference between the two. So how many days would you work in a typical month? Or are you working all the time with that admin stuff?
Myself, I work about 14 days a month.
14 days a month. Yeah. Okay. Now, Amnesty, you say, it's voted to support the full decriminalisation of all aspects of consensual sex work. In terms of actually what that will mean to you, I mean, will it practically mean anything? Is it actually going to be kind of enforced, if that's the word for it?
To have sex work be decriminalised? Absolutely. So what that would mean is that, for example, yes, I could work with another woman for safety, which I would love to do. You know, a lot of us would love to work together and to be able to live or rent apartments together so that we can be in each other's company and be around each other for safety. I could hire somebody to watch my door if I wanted to.
Sure. But the difference between sex work, say, and prostitution, is this a bit glib? Prostitution exploits women, but sex work is a choice that empowers women.
I mean, prostitution, frankly, is generally just a term that people have come to use if they're trying to talk about it in an unsavory or in a poor light. Sex work is a term that came about too, because it was very important at this point to sort of get across that indeed it is work, that really it is work.
Your consent to sex or whatever is less valid than other women, a lot of people think. Is that one of the misconceptions? Is that why one of the people make a mistake?
I mean, that's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
This is part of the thing. If people are going to say that there's no way to consent to transactional sex, that is so endangering, because what that means is that they're saying that I can't ever be raped at work. They're saying that my consent to certain acts doesn't matter. And that is very scary. And people would want to think really hard about what that means for people that are working. That then we can't say, I do this and I don't do that. Because that's essential. It's all about consent.
Why did you decide to get into this line of work in the first place?
Because I was making more money doing it than working for Greenpeace, as much as I love Greenpeace.
Okay. And like, when you talk about the decriminalisation, once again, it will be become a reality in Ireland in years to come? Well, it's not just an Amnesty recommendation.
To me, it's quite clear that what we're looking at is a trajectory, a historical trajectory that's happened with so many other marginalised people. And most recently here, we saw it with gay people being able to vote. The way that people are talking about sex workers nowadays, from what I understand, is how people were talking about gay people in Ireland years ago. They were saying it's a social ill, you can be rehabilitated out of it, and that it has to be eradicated, and that it's abnormal. And so, in fact, what is very clear, and we see it all over the world, is that people are realizing sex workers are humans, and we have to have human rights, and we have to have our rights to be able to protect ourselves and others who interact with us for health and safety.
Well, here's a few at 51551 that are a little bit different to each other. The first one is Dave Fanning, ! Shame on RT Radio for allowing that evil person on your show, ! Go back to your other job. I don't know if that's me, because I don't have another job. Is that you, maybe? What was your other... What were you doing before this? Now, hold on a second. There's another one here that says, we cannot, on the one hand, laud Katie Taylor for the choices she makes regarding the use of her body and criminalise sex workers for their choices, says Paul Flynn. Good point indeed. Okay. Legalise and increase income tax revenues that are presently foregone, thus protecting the workers and ensuring regular medical checkups. And that comes in from Jean. Just you, in terms of going back there, you came on a visit to Cork many years ago, and what did you do? You went to work in a strip club, is that it?
Eventually, when I first came to Ireland, I wasn't working. So I had been working in New York City. And then for the first few years I was in Ireland, I wasn't working. And then, started working in a strip club, and then put myself on a website instead.
And working in the strip club, you really enjoyed it. It was good fun.
I do. You know, I mean, it's like, it's so funny the way that sex workers are supposed to, are sort of more, it's more important that they insist that they love their jobs as opposed to other people. I think that's not really fair, and it doesn't really serve anybody, yeah, especially for people that aren't really having fun. So yes, it was fun for me. It was also very frustrating at times as well.
Do you have a lot of clients?
I do, yes, yeah.
And do you make a lot of money?
I do. I mean, it's you know, it's precarious work, Dave. So you know, if I'm sick, I don't get sick pay. So you can understand that's precarious, and also what that means is you can imagine another sort of risk factor there is that sex workers might be tempted to work if they're sick. So for all of these reasons, you can make a lot of money, but like it's we need better laws so that it can be a little bit more regularized for people, and we can just be budgeting and saving our funds like the rest of society.
Well, immoral is what we... Hold on, here's one here. Says, this immorality should have no place on radio in a Christian country. Shame on Radio One. That comes in from David.
Do you know, it's that, we can have the luxury of having arguments about whether something is moral or immoral, but it's at the expense of people being raped and abused and murdered, because the fact is that whether or not it's empowering or exploitative, if some people find it unsavory, they don't like it, it happens, yeah, and we have to find a way to keep people in it safe. What I think is immoral is throwing people under a bus to act like just because you don't like what they do, and so you think that they should be endangered. I mean, that's very immoral.
Good point. The main problem with prostitution is that society, in brackets women, don't like the fact that the market for sex work exists. That comes in from Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like we live in this world where we all have to work, and when people are talking about gender inequality and everything, obviously we still have strides to make for equality for women and trans people. And it's like... But we have to be working to fix that on a broader scale, because if you just try and take away one way for women to make money, and mind you, a way that they can make more money than they can in any other job compared to men, for example, it's just you're going to hurt the workers in the process. And so it there can't be an argument to try and just sweep it under the rug.
What's the main reason you work, Kate? Is it to make money or just...
Of course it's to make money.
Okay, because it says here, like, what a pity. I thought your guest enjoyed her work, which doesn't mean... I don't think you didn't enjoy it. I thought your guest enjoyed her work, but she's doing it for the money. Well, I think she's doing it for both. Would she want it as a career choice for her daughters? Why would she prefer to work with another woman? Now, it says for safety. I presume that should have a hyphen there. Like, is it for safety reasons? Anyway, that comes in from Gina. So just like that middle one. Would she want it as a career choice for her daughters?
Yeah, of course. What I would hope if my daughter wanted to work is that, first of all, that she would be able to learn a lot from what I've learned. And mainly what I would want is that she would be working in a country, in a situation where the industry is removed from the criminal sector and placed in the labor sector, so that she could have laws to protect herself so that she could work as safely and as healthily as possible.
As one says, sex workers are no different than prostitutes. Both are a disgrace to society. The 51551s. Raising eyes to heaven or hands to heaven. So have you got to know some of your clients quite well over time?
I have, of course. You know, we can become quite close, a lot of us. You know, for some people it's just a bit of fun, and for other people you do become a bit closer, yes.
And are you friendly with other sex workers?
Oh, yes. You can understand there's a lot of really deep solidarity because we're marginalized people, and because people look so down upon us. I mean, you can hear from so many of your callers. It's like people are saying these things, and what they mightn't be realizing is that if you talk about us as criminals or victims or polluters of society, that is how people treat us in the flesh. And that's very dangerous. And I think it's a really serious thing for people to perpetuate that. Because we're talking about, you know, human beings, our fellow human beings.
Yeah, we need a lot more workers like her here in Donegal, with so many celibate lonely bachelors who have to pretend they don't need sex to comply with society.
escorts-ireland.com.
Okay, most over 16s are doing it, so why criminalise those whose business it is? Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, you've been very open about all this. So, like, I mean, as I say, whether you like it or not, unwittingly or whatever, you are a certain spokesperson now for, like, a lot, especially since the television programme, which went out called Connected on RT some time back. So, it's a role that will obviously, therefore, if you do take it on, or if you're saying yes to it in any way at all, it comes with a certain amount of responsibility. Have you been asked to kind of appear here and there and do this, that, and the other and be that spokesperson?
I have, clearly. You know, and what I look forward to being able to do is to be able to be in touch with so many more of the people in my industry. It can be really hard to do outreach even amongst us. Like, I was at, there's a free clinic for sex workers, and I was there, and I wanted to pass out flyers for a sex worker breakfast. So we wanted to have a breakfast just for us to get together to chat about whatever we want to chat about. And I was prohibited from doing that. And so it's like, if we don't even have the right to organize, you can understand that it's hard for us to, it's really important for us to be able to get together and say, what are our issues and how do we fix them and how can we help each other? So that's really more and more what we'd like to be able to do and to...
Well, what about the issues of the darkest of the dark sides? I mean, are you concerned about women worldwide being trafficked into the sex trade?
Yeah, I think that the point is that all of the really bad aspects of the sex industry are not served by any criminalization. In fact, they get worse with any criminalization. And so it's even if people, like I said, it's not a magic wand. Decriminalization is not a magic wand. But at least if we have decriminalization, then, for example, people that have been coerced to work, the workers who are on the ground, who are best placed to see that, can report it without fear of losing their livelihood, housing, or children. Clients who see it can report it without being arrested themselves. So you see that If it's decriminalized, we can interact with the authorities and we can trust the authorities and we can feel safe and confident to go forward and talk. And even, frankly, traffickers are attracted to illegality. If you're in a country where aspects of selling sex are criminalized, traffickers can make more money. Mm. And so Amnesty has seen that that it's decriminalization that's the best policy to protect people from coercion.
Okay, there's a few here that says that woman is totally misguided. That's from Marie, or maybe more, I'm not sure which. Sex workers are people. It's ludicrous to deny them the rights they so clearly deserve. She sounds so lovely, she needs to mind and protect herself on a deeper level. Kate is only fantastic at communicating. Well done and stay safe. And that comes in from Susie in Cork. I thought Christians declare to be compassionate and caring. Listening to those comments, I think not. That's from Ray in Dublin, who's giving out about some of the other people who were giving out earlier on, if you know what I mean, if you can stay with me on that. By the way, family members, you do come from a large, you mentioned something, you came to Cork, there was a lot of people in your family. Isn't that it? And brothers, sisters, and fathers?
Yeah, I mean, I came here with 14 members of my family, but I do have a couple brothers and
sisters.
Is
your dad supportive and mum and all that? And
I mean, they, as I said before, I knew that it was going to cause them a certain amount of worry and stress. And to me, I thought that I could do, and I believe that I can do more effective work for all sex workers across the world out.
Yeah.
And so I thought we are strong enough to be able to bear this, because the issue of women being able to have complete bodily autonomy, the issue of sex workers being seen as people who should be respected and having human rights to protect themselves for health and safety, and sex workers stopping being so uniquely abused and murdered worldwide, yes, that is bigger than the stress that I've caused my parents. And
okay, well, listen, Kate, you are a feminist and you say that being a sex worker is an aspect of feminism for you.
Right. For me, you know, for example, for myself, it is, you know, now in one of the songs in my new show, the show is called Sweet Pang, and it's a comedy musical, right? So it's about a sex worker whose client dies while they're having sex, and she has to disguise herself, Pang has to disguise herself as a detective to protect herself from a pack of zombie radical feminists who go around enslaving clients and eating hookers for strength. So in one of the songs, I sing a song that says this: we can't escape capitalist patriarchy, and so we do what we do. I take the money from the men. I redistribute it. My doctor and my lawyer are women. So that's just a small example of what I mean when I can say, for me, it is feminist.
That's fantastic. I was just going to ask you about the show, but you said it yourself. So you can see Kate McGrew perform the one-woman comedy comedy musical. It's called Sweet Pang. It's at the Chocolate Factory in Dublin from September 14. Today is September 1, isn't it? Yes. Mm-hmm. So from September 14 to September 17 as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival. Kate, thank you so much indeed for dropping into us on the programme this morning.
Thank you, Dave. Hope to see you there.